This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
True North stores have Primo Eats and Pepsi brand products that are heavy on taste and light on your wallet. Right now, buy any Primo sandwich and add a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Handmade every day, Primo uses quality meats and cheeses. Complete the meal with a Pepsi. Grab any Primo sandwich and pair it with a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Get more with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your app store. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Shot clock at 5. Moody's got it. Top dribbles, backs up, takes Tyus Jones to the foul line, shoots over him and a double team, lands with a thud. Santos hustles to the rebound, finds Draymond in midcourt. Back inside, Jackson Davis. No look to Santos, hand off Curry. It's a 3, it's up and no good. And the rebound, Santos hustles to it. Back to Curry. Curry steps around, lob, dunk! Jackson Davis. Guy Santos and a foul as well. Guy Santos set that up with a couple of hustle plays.
Bay Area, it's Guy Santos here. You're listening to Wheeler and Dibs on 957 The Game.
Well, thank you, Guy. Keep hustling, brother. And I want to shout out Simon on our YouTube chat, who is having some fun with you.
Oh, with me?
With you.
Okay.
he thinks Jimmy Butler was listening to the show yesterday and now is purposefully not shooting.
Right.
On purpose, to drive home a point. He's doing the Kobe.
Oh, right.
Oh, you want me to shoot more? Oh, is that what you want? You want me to shoot more? Oh, watch this. Watch me put up double digits in a 40-point win with 4 shot attempts.
Right, but you see what actually happened, right, in the game.
Well, he only played 20 minutes.
Well, beyond that, you see what actually happened. He got to the foul line.
Right. I'm not.
Which is what I was encouraging Jimmy to do. He took 7 free throw attempts. And you know that when you get fouled on the shot, that actually does not count as a shot attempt.
That's correct, yes.
So he took 4 shot attempts, and how many of those 7 free throws involved him attempting to shoot the ball and then getting fouled?
Probably one of them, since it's a...
Probably more than that.
Well, no, it's an uneven number, so I figure
at least
one of them...
Well, it could be an and-one.
That's what I mean.
And then the other 3 could have been shot attempts.
Correct.
So that could have been 3 more shot attempts that he actually took in 19 minutes. So
listen, take it up with Simon. Take it up with Simon and Jimmy. It's not me.
I'm not taking it up with anybody. I'm just pointing out what happened in 19 and a half minutes.
I'm just reading the internet to you.
You can cherry pick all you want in comments. And, you know, it's a cherry pick is what it is.
That's fine. I like cherries.
Of all the 600 or so people on the YouTube right now and probably hundreds of comments.
Well, that one just caught my eye.
Of course it did.
Yeah.
Because he's anti-Dibs and anti-my opinion on Jimmy Butler. And so, yeah, 19 and a half minutes, if you extrapolate that out, that would be 8 shot attempts in 39 minutes, which is still fewer than what I would want.
I mean, I can find somebody who's coming at me if you want.
No.
Yeah. Like Austin says, Willard would have a heart attack if they move Purdy. I mean, this is what happens. Like,
if they move,
what the
30?
Hell are y'all even talking about?
I mean,
like, you want to do price of eggs next segment? Like, what do we like? Brock Purdy?
What is going on here?
We're not talking about Brock Purdy today. It's a damn Warrior Wednesday. Warriors are this close to clinching a playoff spot. Brandon Pajemski's hitting more 3-pointers than God. Nobody's talking to no one's thinking about Brock Purdy right now.
Draft is in 15 days. Is he signed before the draft?
You think yes. I say no.
Well, I mean, now I'm running out of time here.
But you said it last week, and
I said it like a month ago.
Yeah,
yes.
Yeah, you and I both. I mean, so we could just pick up a conversation that we had a month ago. You thought by the draft. I think more by OTAs.
Well, and now if I was to be asked the question again, I would probably go to your side because I'm not sensing a lot of urgency around it.
But I also think it's one of those things that's just going to fall. Like it's just going to suddenly, you and I'll be sitting here and being like, yeah, but Kuminga's right shoelace.
Right.
And Lucas will be like, Schefter, Schefter, go to Schefter. And then it'll be there. We'll hit the breaking news thing and Brock Purdy will make $54 million a year. That's how that's going to go.
Probably, yep.
Yeah. And then back to Wiggins. Anyway, whatever. 888-957-9570. Ramona Shelburne in a little over an hour. She is in Sacramento and I would imagine is following Denver Nuggets basketball, which is in Sacramento tonight. And I texted her yesterday to be like, can you come on? And she's like, I don't even know what the hell's happening tomorrow. I got to board a plane to Sacramento. We're going to the Nation's Cup. So she is on the chase, right? ESPN has that game tonight, and she is clearly on the chase for, hey, Nuggets, what are you doing?
That's one of my favorite Willard-isms.
What are you doing? Like, what is happening here? You can't just be all three-seeding and, fire your coach in the middle of the night. Honestly, can anybody remember an NBA season – recent memory where more wow moments in terms of news. Now, I'm not talking about a great shot. More wow news moments have happened from Luka to Jimmy Butler to two coaches who are going to the playoffs getting fired right before the playoffs. There's so much weird stuff that's happened this year. Crazy. I can't remember another year like this.
It's been wild when you talk about Taylor Jenkins, which, Memphis is, they're a team that's a fringe playoff team now, but at the time they were the three seed, I believe, and they decided that they wanted to do something else, and Dallas trades a generational talent in his mid-20s for an oft-injured Anthony Davis, and they defend it by saying that it's because he wasn't in great shape and you didn't want to give him a boatload of money. And Jimmy Butler forces his way out of Miami and immediately turns this whole thing around. Michael Malone gets fired. Mike Brown gets fired.
Right, Mike Brown, the De'Aaron Fox thing. Supposed to be for De'Aaron Fox. They fire Mike Brown and then they trade De'Aaron Fox.
Yeah, so it's been a wild year. And I'm just looking at an article on CBS Sports and Frank Vogel won it all in 2020, and then he was fired 2 years later.
Yep.
Mike Budenholzer.
He
won it all in 21. He was fired 2 years later, and he's probably going to get fired again.
He might get fired twice in 4 years after winning a title.
And I wonder if he even makes it to the end of the season, considering what firings have been like in the association. So,
you mean this weekend? You wonder if he gets through the weekend?
Right. I mean, is it Black Monday in the NBA?
I don't normally do that.
This Phoenix thing has gone south in so many different ways. And, maybe it's Coach Bud's fault. I don't put the blame on the coach, but when you're looking at a fall guy, it won't be Booker. It can't be Beal. And KD may want out, but that's going to be an all-summer project. So the easy move is just to fire the head coach.
Yeah, no doubt. Jarvin in Mississippi. Hi, Jarvin. Thank you for calling. What's up?
Hey, I'll just going back to the question that y'all asked earlier about most important, and I had picked Moody.
Moses Moody, why Moses Moody?
Because, he's a starter now. And when you're a starter, you play important. His role increases, but he also had to play in the playoff more. So I think he can grow, just like Brandon growing right now. I think Moody Gang can grow more. He had won multiple games in the clutch, with the steal, get K Cunningham in the big threes.
Yeah.
The basket when he drove. So I think he still got room to grow because, they got him in the corner now.
Jarvin, go ahead.
And when the playoff come around, they're going to want to put him in action more. So I think he need to get more familiar with the ball in hand, just like with the Rockets when he was setting screens for Steph and had to make decisions. But, he would turn the ball over. So I think he got to grow more in that. But as long as he's playing, then, he often game need to grow more. I think Kurt need to prioritize that.
Jarvin, thanks, man. I don't think, look, it's not my answer, but it's not a crazy answer either, because we always leave out, like, Moses Moody has become one of the most important defensive players on this team, and they are giving him very big assignments. And in fact, it's one of the things reasons why, like, you know, when people like Coach did, they're going to call in and say Jonathan Kuminga because what he's doing on the defensive end. That assignment is actually going to Moody more than it's going to Kuminga. Kuminga's not on the floor enough to have that assignment. Moody has become the guy that they're going to be like, look, if we need to try to lock up a guard, you're going to get the first crack at it. And then the other thing I would say about Moody is he kind of plays that role of you don't see his points coming. So if Moody's hot from three, that's when the Warriors can blow someone out, right? If you can get 15 points out of Moses, then now you probably have five people scoring or something like that. And that's when the Warriors become almost impossible to beat.
If Pods is doing not necessarily what he's been doing, but close to it, and then, you know, Jimmy Butler's actually trying to score the basketball, which I guess he'll do when he feels like it.
Not when he listens to this show.
No, if he decides that he wants to shoot, and he did a little bit last night, he got to the foul line, which is honestly what you want from Jimmy. You want him to put pressure on defenses to be forced to foul him and get to the foul line where he's really good. So, yeah, if Moses can get you 12 or 14 and Pods gets you 15 and you got Butler getting you near 20 and Steph gets you 30 and Kuminga chips in for 10, well, now you're going to be knocking on 120 and you're going to be tough to beat.
Yeah, I mean, look, there's got to be a reason that those five guys as starters have lost, checks notes, one time, and it was Sunday against the Rockets. Which, you know, not to make any excuses, but I think that you can look at that game, and as I told you yesterday, like, I look at that game, I do not come out concerned. No concern whatsoever coming out of the Rocket game. The Rockets played really well. Steph scored, count them up, 3 points. The Warriors were exhausted from the gauntlet. It was understandable. I thought it was an understandable loss, and the Rockets earned it. They played really well that night.
Yeah, no doubt. And we talk about scheduled losses, and you have 4 games and 6 nights against tough competition, and you already went 3-0. Had they been 1-2 in the previous three, they might have had a little bit of a different effort despite the fatigue, but you already were sitting on house money. So
yep.
You went in there 3-0 in the gauntlet, and you lost that game to Houston, knowing that what lies ahead is a broken Phoenix, a much depleted San Antonio, a Portland team that's ready for Cancun, and then maybe a playoff seed game against the Clippers.
All right, we're live in the Laughing Monk Studios. Laughing Monk righteously brewed here in San Francisco, and all of us at 95.7 The Game. So thrilled to have Laughing Monk Brewing involved with us. It's also Warriors Wednesday, brought to you by Friedman's Appliance. Come see their full selection of in-stock luxury appliances and live working vignettes. Visit Friedman's Appliance in Pleasant Hill today. We'll keep going with your calls. The most important non-Big Three Warrior for playoff success. Moody, Pods, Kuminga, other. What would you vote? We'll keep talking it out. Franklin, Mike, we're coming to your phone calls next. 888-957-9570. And Ramona Shelburne's an hour away on Willard and Dibbs.
Some people follow the rules, but where's the fun in that? I'm Soraya, and this is Rule Breakers, the podcast where we celebrate the rebels, the risk takers, and the ones who make their own way. Every week, I sit down with the boldest voices in sports, entertainment, and beyond to talk about breaking barriers, defying expectations, and rewriting the rules. No limits, no apologies, just real talk. Follow and listen to Rule Breakers with Soraya, an Odyssey podcast, available now for free on the Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Allen pressured by Moody, stripped by Moses, got the steal. Jackson Davis to Curry, lob, two-hand slam. Trace Jackson Davis gets the dunk off a Curry assist.
Dub Nation, it's Trace Jackson Davis. You're listening to Willard and Dibbs on 95.7 The Game.
Boy, they dusted him off last night, didn't they?
Had to, yeah. With Quentin Post, DNP, yeah. Tummy ache. Or
well, he's out
mud
tonight.
Butt, or, it's an illness.
Yeah, I don't know what's going on with
it's an illness.
With Quentin.
And I guess we're beyond the time where it's either COVID or non-COVID illness. Now it's just illness, which is kind of nice where you're 5 years removed from a pandemic, and it used to be where you kind of had to designate which it was. For the most part, they seem to, but hopefully you feel better. QP, just, you know, get your body right and be ready to go down the road here.
Yep, so he'll be out again tonight. Here's where I'd put my bet, and then we can go back to the phones. I actually think with this entire logjam, there are only three teams that I find believable as the Western Conference representative in the NBA Finals. And there are only five teams that I find believable as NBA champion, and I'm actually about to not believe one of them.
Which one would you not believe?
Well,
I mean, because I'm guessing you're saying Cleveland and Boston in the East, and OKC, the Lakers, and the Warriors would be your five.
That's exactly right.
So of the five, whom would you be ready to eliminate? I can't imagine you're going to eliminate the defending champs who are going to win 60 games. Cleveland has been awesome all year. It would be bold for you to eliminate them. OKC is having an historic season in terms of plus minus. They're the best team in the history of the league in point differential. I can't imagine you'd knock them out, which brings us to the Lakers or the Warriors. And if you think that you're going to take the Lakers out of that group of five and make it a group of four, I'm going to have to hit you with a Roxy Bernstein and just say, please explain.
Well,
did I get it right?
Well, you
please explain.
You didn't pick
Thank
any
you.
Of them.
Well, I picked the Lakers as the team that you were going to eliminate
no.
from five to four.
Nope.
Who are you knocking
and
out?
And I said I'm on the verge of knocking
well,
them
I
out.
I get it.
So I'm not
well, that's why
yet.
This is a conversation.
Right.
Is because you would then explain what has brought you to the brink. And if it's not the Lakers, then here I am. I'm gonna turn into guru and I'm going to take a playoff. And then I won't really take a playoff.
I have a hard time believing that the Cleveland Cavaliers are going to win it all.
Okay, wow.
I have a hard time believing that.
Okay.
They have not been as good the last few weeks. They look like some of the shine is off, and I also look at them as a team that of all those other teams, like what do the Celtics have and the Thunder have and the Lakers have and the Warriors have that the Cavaliers do not have? And that is when things get tight down the stretch, like who's my dog? Who's my dog that like the defense is like we're freaking out to stop you from getting to your spot. I just don't think Donovan Mitchell is that. I just don't think he is. I don't think Darius Garland is that. I think that they are such a good collection. They're well coached. They're big, right? They've got Mobley, who's so good on both ends of the floor. They've got a lot, but I just don't think that they have what NBA champions normally look like. So I'm not eliminating them yet, but I'm kind of not feeling it right now. But yeah, I think that the NBA champion is one of those five teams, and I think the Western Conference representative is one of those three teams. I think it's either the Thunder, the Lakers, or the Warriors.
Yeah, that's an interesting way to look at Cleveland, and I do think that, you know, having heard you lay that out, and you're at the verge, you're not ready to
on the verge.
Completely
yeah.
knock them out,
right.
but that team, when you look at a team that has seven guys averaging in double figures, and it's a team that has had almost everybody play the majority of the games this year, they have been a great regular season team. And so you get into the real tight spots of a best of seven. Maybe it's against Boston, and you're tied at two games apiece, and you need your star to step up and take over a game. Is Donovan Mitchell ready to be that guy? Well, he might be.
Maybe.
But I would look at, you know, Boston's got more of those dudes in a series and in a spot like that. Cleveland is a very good team. They're deep. They've been healthy. They've been dominant. But they are definitely built for the regular year, 82, as opposed to winning those 16. And conversely, if you look at Oklahoma City, well, they are equally deep. They've been even better in the regular season,
oh.
but then they kind of have that dude, an SGA, who's going to be the league MVP, and that might be the difference maker in a tougher conference for OKC.
Anybody you want to add to the list?
No, I wouldn't add anyone.
Houston?
I think that Houston, and I said this last year when Houston was a threatening team at the bottom of the bracket, I thought that they were a year away from being a year away. And here they are. Now they're just a year away.
Yeah.
And I think that in contrast to Memphis, and maybe in comparison to Memphis, when Memphis was the Warriors' foil back in 2022, I thought that Memphis was on the cusp of breaking through. And then Ja fell in love with guns. And, you know, Dylan Brooks fled the coop. And yep. that team didn't fully break apart, but they kind of broke apart. And now Memphis is back to not square one, but they're at square two.
Yeah,
they were at square seven. I thought that they were where Houston is now. Houston is on the cusp. I just don't believe that they're ready. The Clippers, to me, are an enigma. I don't think that they have quite enough, unless Kawhi goes full, like, 2018 Kawhi.
And are we done with Denver because of the discord this week?
Something's broken about Denver.
I mean, it's a weird move. It's almost like, do you know why I think we've actually moved on from Denver? Because the roster didn't change one bit.
No, and Jokic is still really good.
Right, and Jamal Murray, for all we know, might be back. So nothing changed, but we've all decided that now they can't win, and I think we think that they can't win because we're reading what they just did as that they think they can't win. Or else why would they do what they just did? So if you don't think, it's kind of like, you know what I mean? Like, it's like a radio show. If you're not having fun, then they're not having fun.
Totally.
All right,
and I'm having fun, by the way.
Yeah, if you don't think you can win, why the hell should we? Why would we think that you're going to win? You're not going to win.
Yeah, and I think that the Lakers, they've got two players who are among the 12 best in the association when they are totally right. And their role players are also really good. Austin Reeves is not a role player. I don't want to disparage him in that way.
No,
he's a damn good player.
He's a legit three.
But then you get to Vanderbilt and Hachimura, and I think that the Lakers, especially at home when your lesser players play better, that's a really dangerous team. And then I get to the Warriors where how do you write them off when Jimmy Butler has come and you almost don't lose, and then Pods is now like Chris Mullin reincarnate?
Right, right.
As a lefty, shout out left-handed white guys, but, and you know, Kuminga still can play better and, you know, all the rest of it. So I do think that the Warriors have to be included in that group.
Okay, 888-957-9570. We are going to go back to the phones. I think we need to pass along to you that the San Francisco Giants have just won a game 8-6. It's a walk-off Wednesday. Mike Yastrzemski in the bottom of the 10th just put one in the bay to win the game 8-6, and this is a game they were trailing 6-1. Earlier in this game, they were way down. They hadn't scored in this series until right now. And Mike Yastrzemski just put that thing in the water, and the Giants will have a happy plane flight to New York.
The only thing wetter than that baseball is Mike Yastrzemski. Because swinging a drive, and it's a no-doubter, and he watches it.
It was just
and by the time he gets to second base, there are two different players with gigantic buckets of Gatorade and water waiting for him at the dish.
Only question was fair or foul.
Right.
That was the only question. And, he got the water and the Gatorade. The water beat the Gatorade by a split second. It was a photo finish. The water and then the yellow Gatorade. And now I'm sure he's going to get interviewed. I think he'll probably get interviewed for that.
Yeah, I mean, what a palate cleanser. You don't score for two games, and then it looks like you're not going to score for three games, and Cincinnati's about to sweep you, and then you kind of chip away.
Then
I'm going to call him Willie Flores because he's now Willie Mays and Willie McCovey.
Dude.
Flores with another bombski to stoke the fire and keep you in it.
Eighth inning to tie the game right down the left field line. This is the kind of stuff the Giants have already had a lot of this early in the year. The kind of stuff that, and this is what I'm excited about because, look, it's still so early, so I'm not going to put, like, okay, now they're 9-3, and that's great. Like, you can bank a few wins. I don't think they're a dominant team yet. There are some concerns. Justin Verlander is giving up a lot of runs, things like that. But what I see with this team, and these next 48 hours will be yet another example, they have done an unbelievable amount of team bonding already. What do you, like in 12 games, you've got the opening day homer by Wilmer. You've got this walk-off right before a long plane flight. You had the walk-off on Sunday, opening day, back and forth. You win 11-10. You keep doing things, and you were down 6-1 in this game. Now you've come back from five runs down in a pitcher's park. They've done all that already. And I just think those are the things that pay dividends down the road.
Absolutely, and vibes are at an all-time high, and you moved off of Farhan Zaidi, which, whatever you think about his farm development, the vibes have never been better since, you know, Buster Posey took over. And so the clubhouse is feeling good about the situation. You're playing great. You're pitching it really well. The defense has been mostly stellar. And then, yeah, Mark, a game like this where you had no business to win this game. You hadn't hit in 2.5 days yet. You found a way to chip away a couple of big hits, and then you get into that walk-off spot. And not only do you win, but you cover the run line as well.
Well, I don't know why that's relevant.
I mean,
why the hell did you just say that? That's the weirdest thing to say right now.
Because gambling has come to the forefront of sports, and I know that the Giants were -1.5 runs, and if you were somebody who thought that they were going to win by more than 1.5, it didn't look good for you until it looked good.
It was looking terrible.
It was.
All day long.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, congrats to those people. Anyway.
Wherever they may be.
Yeah, 888-957.
Did you do a guru sniff? You did the guru sniff. Congrats to those people.
It was a little allergy. It was an allergy.
Yeah.
Yeah. We'll go back to the phones here in a second. Let's have some fun for a second. Can we hear him? Here's Flo. You called him Willie Flo. Eighth inning, down 6-5, chipping away. Here comes Willie Flo.
Wilmer hits a high drive to left. Down the line. It is out of here. And this game is tied. Boy, did he smoke that one.
All right, that's NBC Sports Bay Area. That man goes by the name Dwayne Kuiper. I bet you've heard that call before.
I've heard of him.
Yeah.
Yep.
That was to tie the game. And then, of course, they moved through a scoreless ninth. And then it was Eric Miller who got out of the runner on second situation, top of 10. And then I think it's Chappie over at third base with only one out. So all you need is a fly ball. And Mike Yastrzemski absolutely hit a fly ball.
It was a fly ball, all right. And yeah.
High drive to right. It is out of here. And we are going home.
And that would again be Dwayne Kuiper on NBC Sports Bay Area Walk-Off Wednesday. That's fun.
Yep, super
fun. That's fun.
Couldn't do it in the City Connects, 0-1 in the Purples, but couldn't score Monday, couldn't score Tuesday. Couldn't score today.
Until halfway through the game.
Right. When you in the third, you got one, and then the Reds answered in the sixth. I'm sorry, in the fourth, you got one. Reds answer to make it 6-1, and then the Giants with one of those, like, okay, rallies to get four in the bottom half.
Yep,
and,
yep.
You know, Verlander has been a little bit
wobbly,
man, shaky, which is, it's fine, but... Then you look at Jung-Hoo Lee, who has
phenomenal.
An OPS of 908, had a chance for the cycle, and something about Yaz in the clutch.
Dude, he's got a penchant for walk-off homers.
He does.
He's got a bunch of them in his career. Bunch of them. Remember that one he hit off Josh Hader? Remember that one?
Yep.
Deep into Triples Alley? I think you went to a game a few years ago where they were down 7-0.
Something like that.
Against the Diamondbacks.
With my then-girlfriend, now wife, during COVID. That was one of our early dates, Supper and I.
So you celebrated the Yaz Homer together.
Well, with a couple of high fives.
Oh, okay.
And, let's have a baby conversation.
I thought maybe he wasn't the only lucky one in the building.
No, I mean, he was the only one who hit a grand slam that day. I can say that.
Okay.
But, kind of fun to be there with 11,000 socially distant people because, you know, we had our two seats and there's nobody in front, nobody to the side, nobody behind. It's kind of nice. I kind of miss those days.
I have a statistic for you, and this comes courtesy of our friend Alex Pavlovich at NBC Sports Bay Area.
Okay.
Mike Yastrzemski is now fourth all time on the splash hit leaderboard at Oracle Park behind Bonds, Belt, and Pablo.
Okay.
But 3 of his 7 career splash hits have been walk-offs.
Walk-offs, yeah. And I think that that one against Arizona, that was one. I think that was one of the other ones. This one, too. Line shot right down the line. Look, we'll get back to your Warrior calls, but Richie in Queens wants to scream. Hi, Richie. What are you doing?
Let me tell you what, boys. That is a baseball game.
You're right.
And, you know... just to break it down a little bit, Verlander, obviously, the one bad inning, he got 6 out of them. The relief pitching is phenomenal. Miller coming out with a man on second. Tremendous. I'm so thrilled I didn't see Duvall. I think you might see him cut. He's just horrendous. It's just that kind of game with Yaz. I love him. He's been a really good Giant, you know, and he's a solid player where fundamentally, look, he has his flaws. His strikeout rate is really down so far this year, but he's an excellent outfielder. You know, he's not a great speedster, but he does get a great jump on the balls, and it couldn't happen to a better guy. Wilmer's amazing because, I mean, Wilmer just had a horrendous, he was hurt last year. But to be 9-3, I'm going to the game on Sunday against with my Yankee fans family. I'll be there.
Okay.
If the rainouts do not happen, we got Ray Hicks, and I'll be seeing Webb. And Webb was awesome the other night. And look, 9-3, you know, we spoke, guys, you know, as we do during the year. Do we see this coming? It's early. It's a very small indicator. But their pitching and their relief pitching, especially the kid Rodriguez, has been tremendous. Adames has not hit yet. You know he will. Chapman has really been not good lately. This Lee, I mean, I don't know. Lee, I love the kid, and I think he could be a really... He makes contact. He gets the barrel of the ball on the ball all the time.
Richie, he looks fantastic. He looks fantastic. The only time they got him out today was a diving catch in the gap. He's just firing line drives all over the place.
And when you look at this game, guys, with baseball, you know, 5-1, and they gave up Tyler, missed a bag, and made it 6-1. Second and third couldn't score. Man on third, less than two outs, couldn't score. This was a recipe of like, oh, okay, thank God we got off to a good start. We got to lose three in a row, whatever. But to come back, it's just great. And you know what? We're looking forward to it. I don't know what we're going to get from Verlander. The kid in the bullpen, Bird. I mean, I Birdsong. Yeah, I mean, yeah. He looks tremendous. He gives you length. But again, I think the Val is terrible, guys. Him in that spot the other night with a one-run lead. I was screaming. He's no way.
Well,
there's no control.
Yeah, the
that
other
will sort
guys,
itself out.
And Richie, thanks, man. Have fun at the game this weekend. I think that the Duvall thing, it will sort itself out, and it might sort itself out in the minor leagues. I don't know. But they're only putting him in those situations when other guys are not available. You know, Rogers wasn't available that night.
Right.
He's had some closing situations when Walker's not available. Don't worry about it, Giants fans. Like, their eyebrows are up too. They see what you see, and I think that there is some concern there. After what looked at the beginning of the year like, ooh, the Giants have a closer and then a backup closer. And now all of a sudden after one homestand, you know, everybody wants the guy cut. That's a little – we'll see where this goes. Guy's got a ton of talent, and he's been an all-star already.
Yeah.
So we'll see. There's still some time there to figure that out.
And he bounced back this year early from last year's demotion, so you've got options. You can still go ahead and do that. But today's win is so big because when you look at the schedule, Mark, you've got an off day tomorrow, and then you play 16 consecutive days.
Yeah.
10-game road trip, and then six at home. You wrap the road trip in Anaheim, but the next day you come back home for four with Milwaukee, three with the Rangers, 16 straight games in 16 days. So you get a nice cross-country flight coming off a walk-off.
I'm looking forward to seeing everybody.
Oh, yeah?
Start trying to book that now, by the way. Book. Start trying to book that now. All right, Franklin in Oakland has been hanging on, wanting to talk about Draymond. Hey, Franklin, thanks for calling. What's up?
All right. Hopefully, I get this all right. But this is a shout out. This might be remix for all you guys. This is a guru or a dib guru, you know, remix. Because I believe Draymond's passes. This is just to start it off. Draymond's passes. Shout out Omarion because it was a no touchation sensation. He threw fast balls when he should have threw slows. He threw slow balls when he should have threw fast. No, he threw handballs at the feet. I mean, and at the end, you guys were saying who should have been to step up. I say Momo. Moses Moody. And then we get some more Jimmy Buckets. So, Momo Buckets, playoff, Jimmy. Let's go.
Okay, Franklin, let's go. You scared me for a minute there when he said Momo. Not all of our listeners know this, but that's our nickname for Ramona Shelburne.
Yeah.
And she's going to join us in a half hour. So I thought maybe he was saying that she needed to step up and contribute to the Warriors' playoff run. We can ask her. I don't know if that's in her job description, but Moses Moody. Yeah. I mean, very important two-way player.
No doubt. And if he is going to start, and it looks like this is going to be the lineup that they're going to go with Jimmy, Steph, sure, Draymond, Pods, and Moses, then at least for the beginning of the game, you got to go out there and, quote, step up. And I do think that they have been starting games much better with that starting five. They're not digging themselves 8-point holes any longer. And yeah, Moses, the job number one is go out there and be a good point of attack and wing defender. Job number two, knock down the three. Job number three, make the smart play. Yep. You know, you had the sound earlier from Steve Kerr about just how smart this group has been. And a lot of that is, it's Pods. It's also Moses. And Draymond, Jimmy, and Steph goes without saying. But Moses Moody is a really solid player who understands what his role is.
Steph Curry said something right there on the floor last night after the game with regard to this Jimmy Butler conversation we've been having all week about his number of shots and what he brings to the table and all of that. We'll play that for you next. Ramona Shelburne. Momo is about a half hour away. She's going to be joining us live from Sacramento, where she's getting ready to cover Nuggets and Kings tonight and I think get to the bottom of whatever's going on there. We're also talking out two things, and that is, take away the big three, who's the most important warrior to their playoff success? Is it Moody? Is it Pods? Is it JK, or is it other? You can weigh in on that, 888-957-9570. And do you see anybody as possible NBA champions this year beyond the five teams that we see? Cavs, Celtics, Lakers, Warriors, Thunder. I think I just named the NBA champion when I said those five teams. And you agree, right? Yaz interrupted. I asked you, would you add anybody to the list?
I would not.
Anybody?
I would not.
No.
And, I mean, it's interesting. If you offered me the Thunder or the Field in the Western Conference,
you'd say?
I'd take the Thunder.
Really?
Yep.
Ooh,
yep, I would take the Thunder.
That's a fun question. All right. Let's play with that a little bit more coming up next on Willard and Dibs.
Now, back to Willard and Dibs.
Absolute pleasure. Willard and Dibs, y'all take it easy. Have a good one. Enjoy the game tonight.
On 95.7 The Game.
Tell you what, it's a pretty exciting week.
No doubt, right?
Anybody else having fun? Anybody else having fun?
That Warriors, was pretty fun.
Warriors went through the gauntlet. They went 3-1. They blew out the Suns last night. Warriors and Spurs tonight on 95.7 The Game. Giants just got a splash hit walk-off to end their series and homestand with the Reds. 8-6 they win. They were down 6-1. And, you know, we're talking a lot about Brandon Pajemski today because of everything he's been over the last 11 ball games, which has been absolutely incredible. And then listening to Yaz, who hit the walk-off home run just a handful of minutes ago, listening to him on the field after the game, there's something that almost Pajemski-related that popped into my head. I want you to listen to this now, okay? This is from NBC Sports Bay Area, and listen to what Yaz says right there on the field. He's sopping wet. He's been dumped with water and Gatorade with a walk-off splash hit. Listen to what he says when the guys asked him about what's going on in this clubhouse right now.
Oh, man, it's the best feeling in the world. It's one of those things where you don't feel any pressure. You don't ever have to be the hero on any given day. You just get to be yourself. And Willie has done an unbelievable job of just connecting everyone. You know, at times, if there's a little disconnect between, you know, half the locker room with guys who don't speak the best English and don't feel comfortable trying, Willie's there pushing them and making sure that everyone's pulling for each other. And that's so unbelievably huge that its value is, you know, we just don't even have a way to describe it.
You know what? The
dude's been here 12 games.
Right. He's talking about Willie Adames.
12 games, Mark. And he is the clubhouse connector?
Connector.
Wow.
Has not homered yet.
No.
He has got the biggest contract in the history of the Giants.
He's hitting 184.
I really want to highlight this. First of all, he's also been a little snake bit. My God, he whacked two balls today in RBI situations that went right at people. And the Reds knocked it down. That's not to make any excuses for him. He's had some huge hits. He walked off the game on opening day, down to their last strike, and he walked off the win for the Giants. So he's had some really big hits. But I just think it's important to remember sometimes when you're talking about players you know are important core players, it's important to, dude, you got to stick with people for a second. I don't mean forever. I don't mean forever. But you got to stick with people. Brandon Pajemski made the all-rookie team in the offseason. They're like, we're not trading this guy. We think he's a future all-star. And Joe Lacob got laughed at. And Brandon came out and started this year and looked like he did not know what was going on in basketball. And Steve Kerr was pounding the table at a press conference because he was frustrated with the decisions that Brandon was making. Look at him now. Look at him now. Since March 18th, averaging 18.6 points per game and has more three-point makes than any player in the NBA. Willy Adames, don't get bamboozled by the 180 batting average with zero home runs. They're 9-3, and if you watch a game, you can look at his presence on the field and listen to what the guys are talking about behind the scenes. That is the dude. That's the dude. Jungkook Lee may end up being kind of the rock star. He's got people wearing fuzz on their head out in the outfield.
Right.
And he might hit 330 and challenge for a batting title. He has that look. But this engine does not go without Willy Adames. And Yaz did that totally unprompted. Nobody asked him about Willy. They're just like, what's going on with this group and this team? And Yaz, out of nowhere, 38 seconds after hitting a ball in the water to win a game, is talking about how Willy Adames has this whole thing, this whole group, moving in a totally different direction.
But think about a baseball clubhouse, and it's different than any other sport because when you get to an NFL locker room, a lot of times you've got the offensive room, the defensive room, you've got the wide receiver room, the running back room. It's much more segmented, and for the majority of an NFL locker room, it's 100% English is your first language.
Yep.
For the most part. Basketball, 15 guys, you travel together, but even beyond that, you don't play every single day. Baseball, you have 24 spouses, essentially. You're in the room with the same 24 other guys all day, every day, on the plane, in the clubhouse, and most Major League Baseball teams have, of the 25, you've probably got 12 who speak English as the first, another 10 who speak Spanish, and the Giants have Jungkook Lee, who's probably fluent in Korean, if not other stuff. And so you've got Willy Adames, who, according to the Yaz cut right there, is saying to the Latin guys, come on, come over here and try your English. It's going to be okay. It's a safe haven. And he's probably telling the English speakers, get over here and try your hackneyed, half-hearted Spanish, and let's all have fun. We're all here together. And even though culturally you've got guys from the Dominican and Mexico and all over the world, if Willy Adames, as a Dominican-American player, if he's the guy who is bringing everyone together, that stuff actually matters more than we think.
Oh, no
over
doubt.
162,
no
you know?
No doubt. You've got Doval. You've got Randy Rodriguez. You've got Luis Matos, Elliot Ramos.
Right?
And I know some of these guys they're at a different spot in terms of their comfort with English than others. I get all that. But, like, it's not just the language. It's all the cultural stuff.
Exactly.
And listen, you know what else pops to mind? Like, remember the last time the Warriors played in the playoffs? I better remember the last time. Can we highlight that for a second?
Yeah.
Please, can the rest of this week go well? There's not been a playoff game for the Golden State Warriors in 2 years. Think about that in
right.
The Steph Curry era. No playoffs. 2 years. And the last time they went to the playoffs, they had to grab everything they possibly could to beat the adorable Kings in 7 games with a 50-burger from Steph. And then the hated Lakers took care of him in 6 games. Hey, Lonnie Walker, what are you doing with your life now? That's what I remember the last time they played in the playoffs. You know what else I remember about that team? Couldn't win a road game all year long. Why? Because they hated each other. Mm.
I wish I could say you're exaggerating, but I don't think that you are. Like, they were an unhappy group.
Yes, and that is such an incredible, and that's what I'm talking about when you see what this group has experienced already in just 2 weeks. You've got, dude, they've got 3 walk-offs on this homestand.
In 12 games total, yeah.
But one of them's a splash hit where you were down by 5 runs. You have the opening day experience with Wilmer bombing one there in the 9th inning to win a baseball game there. Your plane flights are probably parties. Willy Adames can't stop smiling, and he's hitting 180. Like, Dude, this team has experienced so much already in their first 12 games. Like, this has the makings of what can take them to the next level. I'm very, very excited by not just the baseball, some of the other stuff that you're seeing from this group. And also, by the way, how fun is this? Anybody get a ticket to a game over the last six games? Anybody try this exercise? Get the ferry or get an Uber and head to the game. You already know what the lineup is.
Yeah, I was just looking at that right now, Mark.
You don't need to go to Twitter. I'm sorry to tell Alex Pavlovich, you don't need to tweet the lineup out every day. I already know what it is.
You know it. And you look at the games played, and it's Bailey 11, Lamont 11, and this is into today. And so I know Bailey came in late today.
No, he didn't start last night. He came in late last night.
That was the one. And you've got Adamas 12, Chapman 12, Ramos 12, Jung-Hoo Lee 11, Wilmer 12. Like, 7 or 8 of your 9 are just there every day. So as a fan, that experience has been incredible. And also, I do think that in the clubhouse as well, like, you know, if you're Yaz, that you're going to play every game against a righty. And if you're any of the other regular starters, you know you're going to be in there. And that's got to be so comforting for a professional to know exactly what you're expected and know what you're going to be facing.
Do you want to know what's just awesome? If you're a Giants fan, this is going to hit you right in the meaningful muscle. You'll get exactly what I'm about to say. So when you're in the media, the Giants, like, there's an email thread. And whenever there's any news, you get an email. You get an email from the PR wing of the San Francisco Giants. So do you know what I just wrote in my search bar of my email? I wrote Giants space roster. The reason I did that is that will search every email I've received that says Giants roster moves for, and then the date. And anytime they make a transaction, I get one of those emails. Do you want to know when the last time was that I got one of those emails?
It's probably been since spring training.
It was on Saturday, March 29th.
Yeah.
Which was the day of their second baseball game in Cincinnati. And actually, it wasn't even them doing something with their roster. It was letting us know that David Villar had cleared waivers and had been outrighted to AAA Sacramento. The Giants haven't made a roster switch all year long.
And in previous years, our joke was like,
twice a day.
Have they traded with Seattle today?
Twice a day.
They made probably, and I looked at the numbers a while back on how many different players appeared. One year they had over 90 players appear in major league games for the Giants because of the constant up and down, and we're going to find you and use you, and then we're going to jettison you and the rest of it. And now they've got, here's our roster, here's our team, go play baseball. And it's so refreshing as a fan to see it and not worry about, like, ooh, Landon Roop, he's going to make a start, and then instead of him just, oh, I don't know, getting his next turn, we're going to send him to Sacramento and bring up an extra arm, and then we need a left-handed bat, and this guy's going to sit. It's refreshing to know that, like you're saying, here's our lineup. And we can all close our eyes and think about the Yankees on Friday, and you could probably guess the lineup right now.
Oh, completely.
And you'd be right.
Are they playing a lefty or are they playing a righty?
Exactly. That's the only question.
I need to know, right? Is Yaz in or is Matos in, and where's Ramos in the order? That's pretty much what we're doing here.
Yep.
That's what we're doing here. And there's something else that's tucked into that Yaz soundbite. I want to play this for you again. Take a close listen.
Oh, man, it's the best feeling in the world. It's one of those things where you don't feel any pressure. You don't ever have to be the hero on any given day. You just get to be yourself. And Willie has done an unbelievable job of just connecting everyone. You know, at times, if there's a little disconnect between, you know, half the locker room with guys who don't speak the best English and don't feel comfortable trying, Willie's there pushing them and making sure that everyone's pulling for each other. And that's so unbelievably huge that its value is, you know, we just don't even have a way to describe it.
Did you hear when he said no pressure?
Yep.
No pressure. No pressure, which I don't know if he's necessarily the one who's talking about years past, but that concept of, hey, I went up there, I'm supposed to hit lefties, I didn't for two at bats, I'm yanked, and I might be on the bus tomorrow to Sacramento or San Jose. Do you remember last year when Hayden Birdsong set that record for strikeouts at Coors Field? The next day, he woke up in San Jose.
Gone. Well, they wanted to keep him close, Mark, so that they could bring him back.
Great. Great. Like, that's the stuff. When you talk about a locker room that's all together, guess what else? It's not just that they know their lineup. They know who's got the locker next to them. Last year, they had lockers in the middle of the locker room because instead of having the 20 normal 26 men, it's just like they got 35 people because everybody's in and out, in, out. Oh, I'm in Sacramento today. Now I'm back. Now I'm in San Jose. All of that stuff has been wiped clean, and that doesn't matter necessarily for the box score in the game, but I think it matters for the guys. I think it really matters for the guys.
And that's something that we all lose sight of in sports, broadcasters, fans, everybody, because we look at the numbers, and numbers are numbers, and your numbers are your numbers, and all the rest of it. But when it comes down to anything in sports, you're dealing with human beings. And I've always thought that if a human being feels better about himself and his situation, he's going to perform better. And this is what we saw in the Farhan Zaidi era, where the numbers might indicate that this player and this player's profile would be a better statistical matchup in this moment, but you've got another human being. And Joc Pederson, I will never forget the example where he homers, and then his next time up, he gets pinch hit for because the spreadsheet told you that it's a bad matchup for him, a lefty against a lefty. Meanwhile, the human being is thinking, I just went deep. I'm feeling good.
Right.
Like, all of a sudden now, you don't get to play because it's a bad matchup. So the human element, Buster's at the helm. Bob Melvin's really good at this. And you bring in Willy Adames, who apparently, according to Yaz, is an elite bilingual broker of the vibe.
Well, you remember when he came on the show with us.
He was awesome.
All we could hear was his voice. And we finished the conversation, and the whole building was lit up.
Yeah, he was awesome.
Like, that's the effect that he has on people. And you're listening to 95.7 The Game, KGMZ FM and HD1 San Francisco and Odyssey Sports Station, always live on the free Odyssey app, and now come to you live from the Laughing Monk Studios.